Hello everyone, this is Julie. It's February already, can you believe it? And so with Valentine's Day in mind, we thought it would be a good time to talk flowers. Joining me in the studio is Andrew Lloyd, who is a local florist and, I may say, a flower arranger extraordinaire. Hi Andrew, thanks for coming in.
Good afternoon.
How's that for an intro?
It is very much a good intro, isn't it?
Just a little background information first, Andrew. I know you've been in the flower business a long time. How did you start out?
I've been in the flower business since I was 18. I started out making holly wreaths originally.
Oh, did you?
For a friend of my parents, and then it progressed from there.
So you didn't have a sort of innate love for flowers or anything? It just sort of...
My parents particularly have always enjoyed gardening and flowers, and yeah. I suppose down the line that's perhaps where it came from. We've always had flowers in the garden, in the house.
Yes.
And as you grow up with them, I suppose you take a little bit of that on board.
So how did you come to have a shop?
My interest,
that's quite a big venture, isn't it?
It has. As sort of time progressed and my interest in flowers became stronger, and I worked with another florist, and then I decided to open my own business.
Right. So I think perhaps we should say right now that it's in Clifton Street in Stourbridge, although it's off South Road, isn't it?
Yes,
really,
I'm based in the old quarter of Stourbridge,
Just
off South Road, and it is in Clifton Street, and I'm quite simply called Flowers by Andrew.
Flowers by Andrew. Telephone number?
Is 01384 443380.
So we thought we'd start to talk about Valentine's Day flowers. Everyone thinks of red roses, don't they?
Red rose is traditionally a Valentine's flower, although actually traditionally any flower is a Valentine's flower, because you're giving a gift of your love,
okay,
of whatever flower you choose.
And this goes back quite a long way,
doesn't
it?
Yes, it goes back way really into sort of medieval times. Flowers were exchanged of gifts of love.
Yes.
Valentine's Day is such more really onwards from the Victorian times, particularly when you think of cards that first were introduced during the Victorian era, and then it became traditional to give a flower. And perhaps in times gone past, it would have been a more seasonal flower.
Yes.
Rather than traditionally roses, which we have these days. That is more of the modern post-war era.
And it's interesting you mentioned seasonal flowers, because I suppose these days flowers aren't quite so seasonal in the shops.
No, we live in a very small world these days, and things come from right across the world at whatever time you want them.
Yeah.
But it is still quite nice to have seasonal flowers.
Oh, yes.
Although we have all sorts of flowers in the shop, I still love the change in the seasons.
Mm. One thinks particularly of daffodils and hyacinths at this time of
year. Yes, we're very much in a spring sort of mode at the moment. And perhaps good for your sort of listeners, anybody that's visually impaired will know that obviously as sight deteriorates, then other senses become much more important, particularly perhaps a sense of smell for me as a florist.
Mm.
And spring is a wonderful time for scented plant materials.
So what would you be thinking of?
Well, if perhaps you're not able to get out, you're not quite as mobile as you might like to be these days, you can bring flowers into the house to bring that fragrance in. It's very easy these days to bring pots of bulbs, particularly into the house. And there is an old saying that spring is in the air.
Yes.
And a lot of spring flowers have got very definite fragrances to them, and quite beautiful, quite strong fragrances. A lot of perfumes, for instance, are derived from a lot of the spring flowering bulbs.
Mm. And funnily enough, a lot of really beautiful flowers don't have a perfume.
No, again, we talk about sort of how things have changed, and as we've tried to improve flowers, unfortunately fragrance has diminished.
Yes.
Of a flower's DNA, fragrance is the weakest link
of it.
So as you start to play with the DNA of a flower to get a bigger flower or a different colour, the fragrance is often lost.
So what would you suggest then? Something like a hyacinth? Or
lots of different flowers. There are hyacinths, of course, which are very, very fragrant.
They're quite powerful.
They're quite a strong perfume. You have things like a muscari or a grape hyacinth, a very small blue flower.
Do they have a perfume?
Beautiful perfume.
Really?
Very sort of quite sweet perfume.
Right.
You have things like jonquils, the daffodils, all of which, again, have got a fragrance, which
I didn't know that.
Rather lovely.
Yeah.
And then there are the plants, a winter flowering jasmine. Right. Again, jasmine traditionally a very strong fragrance, and that lasts a little bit longer. A good jasmine in sort of bloom will last up to about 6-7 weeks.
Will it really?
Oh, yeah, and perfumes the room rather nicely.
And of course, the flower for fragrance is freesias, I suppose.
Is freesias, yes. And again, we're coming into freesia time, possibly a little bit later on. Freesia is more April onwards.
It's a wee bit early.
To be its true season. This is a little bit early for them.
I hope we're giving people out there a really good idea,
yeah.
Especially the gentleman, Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, if you didn't want to give a gift of just cut flowers, you could buy one of these beautiful mixed bowls of the spring flowering plants. And indeed, even the polyanthus have a fragrance attached to them as well.
Yes.
And if some of your listeners perhaps, although are visually impaired, they still have some sight. A lot of spring flowers are very bright colours.
Yes.
Yellow is a predominant spring colour, which if you are visually impaired, of course, is a good colour to be able to see.
Yes.
Rather than the darker colours which recede.
And could you tell me a little bit about how you treat cut flowers before you put them in a vase or whatever?
Yeah, a little bit dependent on what you're having.
Right.
Most flowers these days come with a cut flower food on them, which you should always add to the water. That'll be, for your listeners, a small sachet that will be somewhere towards the bottom of the bouquet or the bunch
sort
that you have.
On with
just taped on with some sellotape. All you very simply do with that is cut the top of it, a little bit of warm water just to dissolve it, and then pop it in your vase.
Yes.
And that helps to extend the life of your flowers.
Yes.
A clean vase is very important. Bacteria does build up in a vase, so a spotlessly clean vase, you know, scrub them out well. A bit of old Domestos always works well. Just to clean the vase, is excellent.
And you need to change the water frequently?
Yeah, spring flowers particularly like water changed about every 3 days.
Okay. That's quite often,
isn't it? It is quite often, but certain flowers require different things. We've talked about hyacinths, and you can now get hyacinths as a cut flower.
Oh, yes.
It's a very popular flower in the shop, but you never cut the bottom off them.
Oh, don't you? That's interesting. Because daffodils, you would.
Yes, you stand them straight in water. Other flowers, you would always cut the bottom and stem off, but a hyacinth just goes straight in the vase.
And you have to be careful not to cut through the nodule on the stem?
That's more a carnation as a nodule.
Oh, yes, of course.
The one thing you need to avoid, particularly at spring, is daffodils with other flowers. Because when you cut a daffodil, if you've done that at home, you'll know it exudes a sort of almost a sort of sap that is a little sticky.
Yes.
And that will then leach into the water of the vase. And that actually is a poison to the other flowers.
I never knew that.
There's an old adage, you never put daffodils with.
That's really interesting, because you kind of think of them perhaps as anemones or something.
That's right. You can mix them. All you need to do is when you get your daffodils home or you're given them, you cut the bottom of the stems, you stand them in water for about 6 hours.
Okay.
Then you throw the water away.
And they've cleaned themselves.
They've cleaned themselves, and then you can mix them within other flowers.
Yeah. I have terrible trouble keeping roses.
Roses these days are a little better than they once were. The problem with the rose is it develops an airlock. When a rose is cut, the stem steals over, and there's a little bubble of air that sits at the bottom of the stem.
Yeah.
And when you recut it and put it in water, as the flower drinks, that little air bubble will travel right to the top and it will sit under the head, stopping any water getting to the head, and that's when a rose droops.
So is there any way of getting around it?
Yeah. when you're delighted and you've received your dozen red roses, you put the kettle on, make yourself a cup of coffee to get over the shock, and with any of the boiling water that's left, just cut your bottom of your stem of your rose, stand it in boiling water for
just a
couple of minutes, and it will release the airlock, then wrap them in some newspaper, stand them in tepid water for about 4 hours, and then they're fine.
I'm really glad you came in today. I might have success with roses.
Well, you see, you're tempting somebody to buy you some roses, aren't you? That's the thing.
Yeah,
you're going to drop some hints
and tell him
here.
Now, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there are a wide variety of red roses we use for Valentine's Day, and quite good for gentlemen because they're often given names of cars. I think it was done to sort of encourage gentlemen to remember car names. There's one called Mercedes.
Really?
There's one called Jaguar. There's one called Grand Prix.
Well, now I shall go home with that information.
Yes.
That will stand me in good stead, I think.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, we're running a bit out of time now, but I wanted to ask you, are the fashions in flowers?
Oh, very much so. And flower fashions are determined a little bit like fashion It comes, it goes. Flowers come and go out of fashion. A very natural look is in at the moment, yes. A very sort of this return to nature, this naturalistic look.
So I was thinking about, well, maybe 2 years ago, Birds of Paradise became the in flower, didn't they? Very striking.
Yes, quite a striking, quite modern flower. It has a structure to it, a very strong linear structure.
Yeah.
And that was in probably about 5 or 6 years ago.
We've gone into this
more sort of softer romantic.
Yes. And we're not using Oasis so much, are we?
No, Oasis is one of the things as we're becoming slightly more environmentally friendly.
It does
take a long time to dissolve, to disintegrate. What you do if you use Oasis and you finish with it, just simply, as long as you don't get it in your eyes, because it is a bit of an irritant, just crumble it.
Okay.
Into bits, rather than leave it in a big block, which will take a long time to break down, just crumble it in your fingers into finer dust and it will disperse much easier.
I had no idea that that was a problem. Yes. So, but vases anyway now are probably... Because you can choose a vase to pick the colour up now, can't you?
And there are so many beautiful vases. Yes. Indeed, there is this trend. I mean, we are based in Stourbridge, which of course was home of the glass industry at one time.
Yeah.
And cut glass was very, very popular. But we've now gone to much simpler vases, perhaps slightly more stylized in shape, but often clear glass is an in look.
Yes, cut glass has gone out of fashion.
Unfortunately. I mean, you can buy Stourbridge.
We've all got it in our cupboard.
Everybody's got it in the cupboard. Yes. You can often buy it very cheaply from a charity shop.
And it is lovely.
And they are beautiful. There are some beautiful cut glass about.
It's just what takes your fancy at the time, I think, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, we're seeing a trend, and we have seen it for 2 or 3 years, of brides deciding they're going to use cut glass as table decorations.
Oh, really?
And they will go around the charity shops
and
buy 10 or 15 vases or 10 or 15
whether they match or not.
Rose bowls, and they'll use them on their wedding tables.
That's lovely. Right. Well, Andrew, there's so much I want to talk to you about. I'd like to talk to you about your huge flower displays that you do. How often are they used now? Is it more sort of weddings for in decorating the room or the church or National Trust, or do people still do very big displays at home?
It's more sort of, I would say, a function, whether it be a birthday party, an engagement or a wedding.
Yes.
The larger arrangements tend to be used in those. Weddings have become a very big part of our business.
Yes, again, there would be fashion.
Again, it's very much fashion. We're guided a little bit by colour on weddings, and wedding colours come and go in fashion.
Yes.
They normally work on about a 3-year cycle of colour, you'll see, and then the colours will change. Or a feel of a fabric will change. For instance, vintage was very in until about 12 months ago. Lace was very much in.
Yes.
That's waned a little bit. Yeah. We've gone perhaps more to a classic cut, and also girls are often guided by celebrities will wear a sort of fashion for a wedding dress, and it becomes very en vogue. When the Duchess of Cambridge got married, she wore quite a demure gown with sleeves in, so that became the fashion.
It's amazing,
for about 18 months 2 years afterwards.
Well, I've been married for 50 years, but I'm going to remember this. All that you've told me, I shall remember for next time around. So nobody would have me now.
You should never say never.
Thank you very much indeed for coming in. I've really enjoyed talking to you, and I'm sure our listeners will as well.
Thank you very much.